The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
You may remember last month we focused on vision and mission and vision. This month we are focusing on cultivating community. And one of the things that I wanted to establish is that we said that our vision is a kingdom vision. And the danger in stating that is that we then are implying that church vision is not important, and as it is. And in fact, we cannot carry out kingdom vision without the church. The church is a part of the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God is much bigger than the church. And yet, the church is God's vehicle through which you and I are dispatched into the kingdom. And it is the way in which we are released into the kingdom. I'm going to ask John if you could put up our vision. We purpose to be a Christ-centered community of people. We are focusing this month on just that, being a Christ-centered people of a community of people, and how do we cultivate that? How do we establish that? The reality is that this vision carries both church and kingdom intention and vision. And it is important that we understand that community is very important, and having a family of God is very important. As many of you know, the end of this month, I and my family, who are up north with my family, Brian and Renee and the kids are up there, but we as a family will be celebrating and mourning the one-year anniversary of my wife Marcy's passing, for those of you who may be visiting and never had the privilege of meeting her. And so when I talk about community, I want you to know I'm talking from a place of experience and appreciation. You as a church and you as a community of believers were a very strong anchor along with the Lord Jesus Christ in my life and in the life of my kids in ways that you don't fully understand. In fact, she passed away on a Friday. The following Sunday, my son John, who doesn't attend here anymore, he did for years, he was part of the worship team and all of that, but he said to me, "Dad," he said, "Dad, I've got to be at Living Waters on Sunday." He wanted to come home when he was processing one of the, well, probably the hardest thing he had ever walked through. He and Ashley and the kids. And you need to know, and you need to know that you were a powerful community of people for Marcy. Long before she even was diagnosed with cancer, you were very significant in her life. I don't know. Probably most of you don't know this, but at her funeral was somewhere around 500 people, and there was not anyone there from her blood family. Only because there aren't many. She has a half-brother, and he, if you remember, he sent a eulogy that my son-in-law Brian read at the celebration of life that we had here at the church after the funeral. I say all that to say you were a powerful force in Marcy's life, a family that she didn't have. She lost her dad when she was very young. Her mom had passed away, and her half-brother she didn't see a lot of. And all of that to say community is very important. It was important to her. It's important to me. It's important to me now in the season of my life that I'm in, almost a year after. And so we need to know that just the fact that we're here is very significant. There are times when we feel, I know, there are times when all of us feel like in different seasons and interactions with one another, we sometimes feel so inadequate and we don't know what to do. You know what? You're here. You were here back then, you're here now. And we're together. And I realize there are some that are visiting and maybe working out whether this is the place for you or not. And obviously the Church of Jesus Christ is huge. But there has to be a local assembly, I believe, that we belong to and that we're part of. Because it's important. It's important in times of celebrating a birth of a baby like we are doing with Janelle and Paul Seafelt right now. It's important in times of processing loss. It doesn't matter. The reality is that it is God's design that the children of God would have a family. And it's called the church. The word church simply means assembly. And it is an important assembly. And by the way, it is an assembly that you don't get into easily. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. The writer of Hebrews has just finished chapter 11, and he's talking about the awesomeness of what Christ did for us. And in verse 19, he says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God." Everyone say, "House of God." Say it again, house of God. Aren't you thankful for the house of God? Amen. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching." It is not possible to get into the community of God apart from Jesus. We said in our vision, we purpose to be a Christ-centered community of people. And we need to know that there is an initiation, if I can say it that way, that we go through to become a part of the Church of Jesus Christ at large. It says in the book of Acts that he added daily to the church those who were being saved. And it is that awesomeness of the work of Jesus Christ that allows you and I the right to become a part of the family of God, of the Church of God. I know the country western songs declares that we are all children of God, and that is true in one way, but in another way it's not true. And we all need to know that country western singers do not know everything. I'm sorry to break that to some of you. Does that break your achy breaky heart or whatever? And the truth is that we can be in the habit, especially, well, all kinds of people in our culture can be in the habit of talking a lot about God and about the man upstairs and whatever, you know. But the truth is, if we don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, we're on the way to becoming a part of the family of God. I don't know everyone here this morning. You might be here this morning visiting and you've never really invited Jesus Christ into your life. Got really good news for you. You can. And it is that decision and then allowing him to work in your life that brings you into the family of God. I'll never forget when Marcy and I first got saved and began to interact with the church. I had interacted with the church as a Sunday school kid, and I was not the most attentive kid. And why are you laughing? Let me finish. I was not the most attentive kid in the class, and I wasn't the kid that sat the still the most. But when I got born again, something shifted in me, and I had a love for being in church. I understood what David meant when he said, I was glad when they said, let us go unto the house of the Lord. And I still feel that way even unto this day. But it isn't because I come there to meet with God. Because I meet with him at home, too. Sometimes deeper and more precious, because it's quieter. I like it quiet. Sometimes. No, what excites me about coming to church is you.
Yeah, come on.
You know that Cheers song that says we all, and I should have looked it up from the show Cheers about the bar and all of that. It says something to the effect, we all got to go where somebody knows our name. And there is something very true about that. And there's something very special about having a company of people who love us and accept us, even though, and in fact, who get to know the real us. It took Marcy and I a while to become comfortable with sharing our testimony because it wasn't squeaky clean, and we didn't grow up on the shelf of righteousness. And it took quite a while for us to realize that the church would not reject us because of our testimony. In fact, they would accept us because of our testimony, because they saw the difference between then and now. And they saw what God was doing in our lives, and they saw the fruit. Sad to say that, we just read in verse 21 or verse 20 that it is through Jesus ushered in a new and a living way. The church, whether we understand it or not, is not an organization. That community that we're talking about is way more than an organization. It is an organism, and it is living and breathing, and it has life. What we saw this morning with the dance that Paul and Peter did, that was life. I love it. And there is a new and living way that Jesus ushered in that did away with the rules and the regulations and made it about relationship with God. And Jesus made the way, and Paul, we read it, he made a way for us to come boldly before the throne of grace so that I can come into the household of God and know that Daddy's there and Daddy welcomes me. And there's this wonderful thing that happens and that goes on that allows us to be among family. Sad to say, not this church, but so many churches are not a voice of forgiveness. They're a voice of forbiddenness. When, in fact, Jesus gave us, the church, the power to forgive sin. He said it to the guys. He said, I give you the power to receive ye the Holy Spirit. I give you power to forgive sins. You forgive them on earth, they're forgiven in heaven. We say in our mission statement that we purpose for this place to be a place of hope and healing. People should be able to gather in this community and know that they're loved and accepted. Why? Because they've got everything in order in their life? No. Because they're connected with the one who does. And he's at work in their lives. It's the new and living way. And so we as a church have the opportunity to be the voice of forgiveness and grace and to release life. We are an organism. And we have the ability to ebb and flow with what God is doing and doing in our lives and in the lives of one another. Jesus, the one who was ushering in the new and living way, shocked the religious community of his day when he had a woman caught in adultery at his feet. And they were asking him, what should we do? What should we do? They knew what they should do. The old way told them what they should do. But there was a new and living way on the scene, and they were testing him. The old way was very simple. Stone her. By the way, where was the guy? Just thought I'd ask. But see, the very ones who made up that way were the scribes and the Pharisees, who had added a whole bunch of laws that were not very favorable to women. But Jesus was ushering in a new and a living way. Their law not only told them that she should be stoned, it also told them who should throw the first stones. The ones who caught her. Which I wondered how that worked. Some people wonder what Jesus wrote on the ground when he stooped down. I think he stooped down to protect her from being stoned myself. That's all he was doing, is putting himself in the line of fire, in my opinion. But if he did write something, he might have wrote Peeping Tom. I'm just saying. How do you catch a woman and a guy? Anyway, just saying. The church should be the most loving, gracious place on the planet. And by the grace of God, I believe we are. And I commend you for that. The truth is that we have the ability to be encouragers for one another, to be strengtheners for one another. The writer of Hebrews' exhortation is in verse 24, to consider one another. How many of you have ever been stirred up by your brothers and sisters in this place? How many of you have ever been stirred either to good, to love, or to good works or good deeds? I would like you to help me preach this morning, and I would like for some of you to just shout out, what are some of the benefits of being in a community of people? The church, and if you're not from this church, that's fine. But what does the church mean to you? Anybody?
Love.
Say that again.
Love.
Say that again.
Love.
Say that again.
Love.
Love. Amen. Love. Iron sharpens iron. Family.
Friendships.
Accountability. Encouragement.
Forgiveness.
Prayer support.
Mentoring.
Joy and strength. Healing.
Acceptance.
Fellowship. Who said that? Oh. Way to go. Awesome. What's your name?
Marcy.
Marcy. Awesome. Good name. Just saying. Just saying. Who said that? What was it?
Safety.
Wise counsel.
Holding each other up.
Holding one another up. Coming under protection of authority.
Shelter.
Shelter. Help in identifying our gifting.
Opportunity to use
our giftings. Good stuff.
Launching
pad, yes.
Food.
I'm sure you mean spiritual food, brother. No, we don't mean just spiritual food. Who said that? I could have guessed. No, I agree. I think, personal opinion, I think churches have some of the best food there is on the planet. Because it's blessed while it's being made, in my opinion.
I would say joy in his presence with one another.
Joy in his presence with one another, absolutely. That's probably a highlight for me of why I like to be here. Team. We're part of a team. Good stuff.
Freedom.
Unity.
Freedom.
Burden offloading.
Burden offloading. Offloading our burdens. Amen. You're doing good. Keep going.
Trust in safety.
Trust in safety.
Correction.
Correction. Brothers and sisters. Mothers and fathers.
Growth.
Impact.
Accepting the handicapped.
Accepting the handicapped.
Allows us to have
a wind at our back. Refuge, a place of refuge. Good stuff. And the reality, anyone else? I don't want to cut anyone. If you got it burning inside you, just let her out.
Giving. Constant.
Being constant or consistency together.
Restoration.
Place for miracles to happen. Yes.
Training.
Growth.
Salvation.
Yes.
Impacting
the generations.
Dreaming.
A dream center. Isn't this fun?
Vision.
Hope.
Joy.
Good music. So true. Healing. A spiritual hospital.
Worship.
Prophecy.
Truth and grace.
Comfort.
The presence of Jesus.
Reconciliation.
Restoration.
Making disciples. Imagine that. What? Someone said something over here.
His kingdom.
The kingdom. The kingdom of God. His kingdom.
For a higher call.
Thank you, brother. That deserves a handshake.
<There you go. laughs>
get that higher call in there somehow. Purpose and destiny. Discovering our purpose and our destiny. Say that again. Yes. Changing the atmosphere of a city. Someone else said something too.
Testimony.
Laughter. I see that hand. Yeah.
You,
you can be stretched. How many? Don't raise your hand if you want to, but I will. How many of you have ever been stretched by the church? How many of you have ever been hurt by the church? Yeah, not everyone, but a lot of us. And for that reason, well, before we move on, anyone else? I don't want to move too quickly. That's fun. Yes. Heaven comes closer when the family of God is gathered together. I agree. Power of agreement. Encouragement. Jesus with skin on. Refuge. A place of refuge.
Exhortation.
Revival. Strength and refreshing. Look at this. Come on, you're preaching really well. Would you two stand up and turn around for me? Would you help me preach? Here's a picture of community right here. No. Isn't that precious? I think I'm going to cry. No, I guess not. For the tape or the CD, I said tape the other day in staff meeting and got ridiculed. For the message, electronically recorded message, we got two kids sitting in front here, both in the same shirt, sweatshirt. One sleeve, and well, you would have to believe it to see it. That's community. That's community. And the truth is that sometimes the church community gets a bad rap because we have been hurt in the church. And we feel like if that is a representation, and there's people who even love God, but they stay away from the church because they haven't been exposed to a church that reflects the heart of God in the new and living way. The way that Jesus provided. Because we do get hurt. And even in the new and living way, we still get hurt. And we need to understand that when that happens, and when we that is when we really need to work hard at cultivating community. There is something of a core value that is in this house, and it's been here for years, since the inception, really. But we've recently gotten some verbiage for it, and that is a culture of honor. A place where people are honored for who they are and where they're at, even though it may be obvious they aren't yet who they're going to be, and they're not yet where they're going to be. The truth is that all of us are saved, but we're also being saved. And we also will be saved. And there is a progression in our lives of allowing God to heal us, change us, mold us, shape us. and cause us to be somebody that we could have never been. And we need to know that the community of believers that is around us is used of God to bring that metamorphosis about. We are transformed from glory to glory with ever increasing glory, the Bible says. But the change that comes in our life does come through all of the things that you just helped preach. All of those attributes of being in a community of people shape and mold us and are constantly changing who we are. The truth is that eventually God has done such a work in our lives, especially, and I'll just use my testimony and Marcy's testimony as an example. It came to the place that when we shared our testimony of how we first started out, there were people who wouldn't believe it. No, that can't be. No, it was. It was messy. And yet, there's such a transformation work that God does in our life that we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And they've become so new that the old is so far removed, well, as far as the east is from the west. And only God can do that, but He uses the community of people to do that. And He doesn't have to, but He does. Consider one another, is the exhortation of our text this morning. That's what the community of people is for. By the way, in a little bit, we're going to take a little time and pray for one another in groups of four or five, something like that. So be thinking about one prayer request that you could ask for people to pray with you about. If that stretches you, we already established. That's one of the purposes of the church, is to stretch. Right, Jordan? Most of you didn't see it, but he was just putting up his arm to get his sleeve to kind of come down. And he said he was stretching. And then he said, oh, no, the church stretches you. Am I stretching you yet, Jordan? Consider one another. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. It's important, I believe that it is important for us to have a community of believers who know us and where we can be ourselves and help others to be themselves with an awareness that we are all being changed. And we are all being made new. And many times we back away from the opportunity. How many, you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, but how many have found what I've found, that there's a meeting, a small group gathering or something, and you really kind of don't want to go, but you know you should go. Your body's saying no and your soul's saying no, but your spirit's saying yes, and your spirit wins. And by the time the evening or whatever the meeting is over, both your body and your soul agree with your spirit. Oh, that was so good. Anybody can identify with that? Oh, good. I'm normal. No, we all feel that. And the truth is that it is our body and our soul that needs the company of believers as well as our spirit. And it is the soul and the body that often wars against and causes us to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, that doesn't mean that every time there's a meeting that we should be at church. How's that? I think we need to know where we should be and where we shouldn't be. One of my observations over the years, more past, long time ago, but it potentially can be even now. I want to speak to those of you who are parents of families and of small children and of all of that. There is a danger in, how can I say this? Sometimes one of the most one of the biggest hindrances to raising a family sometimes is a lot of church meetings. And as a pastor, I want to give you permission to sort out whether you should be at any given meeting or not. Because you know what's best for your family. You know what's best for your kids. And there was a season in the life of the church at large, and I think it has gotten way better because the Lord is taking us all along. But there was a season where if the church was open, you should be there. And then you hear things like, oh, you should have been there last night. Well, maybe, but maybe not. Because the truth is that we have let me read it to you. We have a high priest over the house of God. And we have another way of saying that is that we have a shepherd and the sheep know his voice. And you know the shepherd's voice. So if you feel like when we're talking about cultivating community, our exhortation to you is if the church is open, be there. That's not what we're saying at all. We're saying take advantage of the community of believers when you can and when you should. And when the high priest of the house of God, the shepherd, is calling you there. By the way, because this community of believers has a high priest and a shepherd that is over it, and it's not none of us, we are thankful for the privilege of being an ambassador for him and giving a voice for him and representing the shepherd heart of God, but we are not the chief shepherd. And I believe that you might be here this morning sorting out if this is the church for you or not. Don't use any other measuring device for deciding that other than the voice of the shepherd. That is the most significant way to know where you belong. If it's because they do this right and that right and I like this and I like this and I like that, they'll probably quit doing that. Then what you're going to do? Somebody said their music, and it's good. I agree. We have awesome music. But what if they just decide to change all things up? Oh, no. They don't do my song anymore. We need to know. See, the thing that'll keep you in community is when you've heard the voice of the high priest of the household of God say, this is where you belong.
Yep.
Then when the testings come and some of the sortings out and some of the tensions and they do come, you can just sort out, yeah, but this is home. And we'll work it out as family. We'll walk it out as family. We'll talk it out as family. But until I'm released, and you can be released, by the way. You can be here for a season and then be released. We don't work real hard at convincing you or selling you anything but who we are. And we try to be consistent with who we are with the confidence that you'll know whether this is the community of people for you. My exhortation to you is you need to have a community of people. You need to know where is God planting you. That's why we shared mission and vision last month, because that helps make that decision. And I can assure you, our heart, our feelings will not be hurt if you feel God is leading you elsewhere. Doesn't mean we don't care. We do care. But we care enough to trust you to hear the shepherd's voice for yourself. We have a high priest over the house of God. not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another. Someone said that word. That is a strong word. That's different than edifying or encouraging. Edifying is an architectural term. It actually means posts and beams. It is the word we get, the root word we get our word edifice from. Exhortation is a whole different word. It's a little bit stronger, but it is a cheering on or a prodding on or an encourage. How many of you have ever been exhorted by a brother or a sister? How many of you have appreciated it? I don't know about you, but I'm prophetic, so I would much rather have somebody get in my face about something than pat me on the back and never say to me what they want to say. It's important that we recognize, we exhort one another, we cause one another to consider. We exhort one another with the calling and the giftings on our life. We exhort one another with the processings of our life. We need to have that. We all need that. That's why I believe that we're brothers and sisters. I've often said, and I'll say again, the highest office that I carry in the Church of Jesus Christ is brother. That carries way more authority than any other title I have. In fact, that term gives me the privilege of speaking into your life that pastor doesn't. What? Yeah. You can unpastor me with one sentence, but you can't unbrother me. Like, right. Amen. Isn't that the truth? That is the truth. I tell my kids, I smile because you're my children. I laugh because there's nothing you can do about it. And it's the same thing with brothers and sisters. Like it or not, we're brothers and sisters. I can cease being your pastor really easy, but I can't cease being your brother. Because it's relational. And it's more relational than pastor. It is. And it's a higher privilege. I count it a higher privilege to be your brother than I do your pastor. Because you may decide that this community of people isn't for you. And we will bless you. And you've seen it over and over again. We love to receive new members. And we also love to release them and pray them out with the same exuberance and the same release. So that then ends my pastoral role in that person's life. But I'm still a brother. It's important. If you're here this morning and you've never seen how significant your role is as a brother or a sister, I encourage you. Last week in Sunday school, we're going through a series where we just laugh. Literally, we're practicing laughing at lies. And the lie that we went over with the kids last week is the lie that my voice does not matter. Let's laugh at that. Your voice does matter. And your voice carries a tremendous amount of authority. And you can say, well, yeah, I'm not even part of the leadership of the church. Well, you can thank God for that. But you are a brother or you are a sister. And it is a high, high privilege. And there's a tremendous authority in that. You have an ability to exhort and to speak into one another's lives. But you do it with brotherly love, with sisterly love. We do it from a culture of honor. Your voice does matter. Your voice is important. I don't care who you are. The truth is that the church allows us to carry out both the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Someone else said it. In fact, all the attributes that those two declarations carry are found in some of the things you said. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart. Worship. The church allows us a place for corporate worship. With, as someone said, awesome music, live music. How many of you have ever played a CD at home? Or listened to an MP3? Oh, CDs are still legal, aren't they? Are they still legal, Jesse? Jesse's going, well, maybe. But how many of us has played a song through whatever medium, and it is just so alive, and it just takes us somewhere, and we can't wait till tomorrow morning we get to get in the presence of God and play that song again, and it's flat. It's just flat, and it's like, oh, where'd the life go that was in that song? Guess what? It wasn't in the song. It was in you. And it was in your response to that song at that moment. But the truth is, you're in a new and a living way. And so there's an organism that you're a part of. And the awesomeness of having a worship team is that they can catch the flow of the river of what God is doing. And there can come prophetic song and prophetic declaration in a community of people, prophetic words, whatever it is that captures the flow of God. And so the song that rocked it this week will not rock it next week. Guarantee it. Why? Because we're in a different place of that river. And I thank God for worship leaders and worship teams and prophetic singers and prophetic voices that can capture and catch the flow of what God is saying and doing. That's community. And what really rocks my world is they can sing and sound good at it. That doesn't work at my house. That's community. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And it allows us to come into a community of people and worship God. It also, and someone said this, it is a place of fellowship. And your neighbor as yourself. Look to the person to your left and to your right and say, hello, neighbor. There's fellowship. Tremendous connection. Even, here's the deal. Even if we are way different, and we are, everybody say this, and just in case you don't know this, I want you to say this. I am different. I'm glad you know that. So am I. We're unique, we're different. And yet there is this tremendous connection that we have around the Spirit of God and the person of Jesus Christ and God the Father. The Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples. The church is a place where discipleship happens. How many of you have been discipled by the church? Oh, goodness. In one way or another. And sometimes it isn't a formal. It may or may not be. Doesn't matter. It is. We are changed. We are affected. We are impacted. Because everybody's voice matters. Ministry, someone mentioned that. Opportunity, Renee said it in her message when we were talking about vision last week. Was it last week she preached? Yeah, it was just last week. The truth is that our part of our vision is that whatever God did in your life, you give it away. You comfort others with the comfort with which you've received. You heal others with the healing that you've received. You love others with the love you've received. You forgive others with the forgiveness you've received. To go on and on. Because, why? Because the things that he does in us, he does for other people. That's ministry and mission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So there is this wonderful design of God's community that he wants and makes us a part of, and we are a significant part of it, both to receive but also to give. And that is our vision. We want to equip people to know how to give away what they've received. And it comes and it takes place in community. Now, it takes place outside the house of God, if I could say it that way. It never takes place outside of the kingdom, but it does take place outside of the church. We have 10 minutes, and I want us to be stretched just a little bit, because somebody in the place, Jordan said, that's what the church does. I want us to just break up into groups of four or five and get with people you don't know if you're comfortable with that. If you're not comfortable with that, you can stick with people that you're more comfortable with. We don't want to make anyone uncomfortable, but we do want to stretch you a bit. So let's get in groups four people, three, four, five. Just go ahead, stand up, move toward someone who is a leader. I mean, you are all leaders. Somebody give leadership to who you're going to connect with. Smile at the person. Give them a hug. And then we're just going to pray for one another. So just ask how, just one simple thing. Doesn't have to be a long prayer. We have 10 minutes, but we just want to bless one another. How can find out what they could use prayer for, and then pray that for them. Agree with them. This is the power of agreement. Who are you with? Come on. Kathy, can these two join your group? Yeah, there we go. Good. Thank you. Everybody in a group? Good. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you for the value of community. You can continue to pray if you're not done. I'm going to dismiss, though. If anyone here needs to leave, you feel free. The service is dismissed. There'll be prayer teams up here eventually. But you continue to minister if things are happening.